Good morning. Wow, I got to get that app, Missy, you know, because then I can figure out what I'm preaching next week. I'll just look and they'll tell me. That's awesome. There's a link on Facebook. Okay. I'm supposed to tell you there's a link on Facebook. So I was in prayer this last week, and the Lord showed me something really kind of neat. Our prayer summit is tonight. And there's people in our congregation who've never been to a prayer summit before because you don't know what to expect. You're nervous. You're afraid. And when the Lord showed me this, he reminded me of a time where I was a tent maker as a volunteer pastor doing children and youth. And to supplement my income, I worked on the garbage trucks in Edmonton, Alberta, and I was hired as what they called a swamper. My job was to ride on the back of the truck, and the driver would pull up from house to house, and I would jump off the truck and grab the bins and throw them into the back of the truck and do that kind of a thing. And as I kind of grew in this, and the bosses gave me an opportunity to drive my own truck. But I couldn't drive a garbage truck because you needed a commercial driver's license to be able to do so. And I only had my general license, and I couldn't drive that unless I took courses and got the right certification. So they sent me to get my air brakes, and I went and did my air brakes course. And then that opened up an opportunity for me to move from the garbage end of it onto the recycle end of it. Now, the recycle trucks were massive trucks. If I remember right, they were 28 feet long. And then on the back of it, they had a big box that was probably, oh, I don't know, maybe 8 feet tall and probably about 6 feet deep. And you put all your cardboard boxes and all that kind of stuff in these things. And when I got my course, it was a one-day air ticket course, they gave me the keys to this truck and said, now go. Now, the problem with that is I had driven a U-Haul truck before, so like a cube van type of deal, but I've never driven a truck that was as large as this. And when it's just like, here's the keys, go, it becomes a challenge. And I had to navigate these back alleyways, and I remember you had to, when you push the lever, this big hydraulic lift came up, and I had to watch out for power lines and that kind of stuff above that. And then as I was navigating this one really difficult back alley, it was so narrow, at the back of my truck, I caught somebody's eaves trough, and I tore it down. And when I did that, I had to call the safety inspector, and he had to come up and file a report, driver error, and all this kind of thing. And they said, you know what, we have to write you up for this because it's a mar on your record. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I said, but I don't think it's fair. Well, why is it not fair? I said, because you didn't train me how to use this truck. You gave me keys and said, go. That's it. So I had an opportunity or a choice to say, you know what? I don't like this company. I don't think you guys work well. I am just decided that I'm not going to work for the rest of my life. But that wouldn't have done me very well, would it have? See, when we go to places and you're like, I don't want to go to a prayer summit because I know we get together and we pray for one another and I'm afraid. I don't want to pray for somebody. What happens if I make a mistake? What happens if I do something that is not quite right? So the easy and the safe way is to say, I'm not going, and I'm going to stay at home. But yet we want to be a training place. We desire to be a safe place where people can come and pray for one another. And you know what? It's really important for us as a congregation to come together and pray. Now, maybe you're at the place where you're like, I cannot pray for people. Well, I bless you in that. when we split off into those small group opportunities and you get into your triad, go with somebody who you know. And then when it gets to that time of saying, you know what, here's what you can pray for me for, but I'm not quite ready to be able to pray for you yet. Now, don't stay there, though. Because if we just stay there, we're not going to grow. We want us as a people to be able to know God. And if we know God, isn't that really us becoming that house of prayer? Because this, again, this building is not the church, but the body of Christ is the church. And in order to be a house of prayer, then the body of Christ needs to be people of prayer. And in order to be people of prayer, we need to be people who pray for one another. And encourage one another. And it is so important. But again, we desire to set up an atmosphere here that is so safe. And if you're in that place that you're just like, you know what, Pastor, I'm going to come tonight, but I'm just not quite ready. That's okay. Bless you in that. And maybe next time at the end of the fast, in 21 days, we're going to have another prayer summit to bookend prayer summit with prayer and fasting. And as we do that, you're not ready then yet. That's okay. You'll know when you're ready. And it may start off by praying for someone like, you know what, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, you just bless Steve. And I just pray, God, that you just fill him up with your spirit. And Lord, you know what he's going through. And yeah, that's awesome. Because isn't it great when somebody comes alongside of you and prays for you? Isn't it important for us to really carry one another's burdens and say, you know, God, this person is just really going through it right now, Lord. It's not an opportunity to counsel or give wisdom in the area. It's an opportunity to pray and say, God, we trust you. And sometimes when we pray, it's as simple as saying, God, I don't know how to pray for this person. I've never gone through what they're going through before. But God, you have them, and Lord, you know what they need, and God, would you do it? Just simple like that. Remember, fear is not from God. So we can decide, I'm not going to come, I'm going to hide, but you'll never, ever grow to the place that God is calling us as an assembly, to maturity, to be able to pray for one another, to be able to lift one another, to be able to stand with one another. And that's the desires of our hearts, is that we come alongside and lift one another up in that secret place of prayer. Amen? Amen. So last year, I kick off this 2020 season with prayer and fasting. Last year, we did our first prayer and fasting, and I kind of focused on the fasting end of it. Today, I'm going to also be speaking about fasting, just to kind of remind us, if there's new people who've come in, it's just kind of like, what exactly is a fast? Just to kind of give just a couple of examples of a fast. But then next week, we're going to switch from the fasting end of it into the prayer end of it. And I really want to focus on prayer and the importance of prayer and how to pray and a few of those deeper things. So for me, fasting started many years ago when I went to a conference in Los Angeles, and on our off break, they took us to this Christian bookstore that was the largest bookstore I think I've ever been in. It was just this massive Christian bookstore. And when I was in there, we're looking and we're just kind of shopping a little bit, and I saw this one book that was simply entitled Fasting by Jensen Franklin, and I bought it. And I went home, and my wife was asking me about the trip, and we're going through my bag, and we're putting the dirty laundry in the laundry room, and we're putting away things and that kind of stuff. And she pulls out this book fast, and she goes, oh, did they give you this book at this conference? I said, no, I went to this massive bookstore, and I bought this book. And she says, was it the only book there? Like, what made you choose? It's a brown book. It says with yellow letters, fasting. What made you pick that? I'm like, I don't know. I just grabbed it. And I shelved it for many years, to be honest with you. Fasting was something that people kind of talked about a little bit. But it wasn't really something that we understood or we lived by as a family. And then one year, I just kind of pulled this book out and I read it. And I was like, wow, God, fasting is something that is really important. Fasting is something that, God, you've called every believer, every disciple of Christ to. And Lord, I don't like fasting. Lord, I really, really, really like eating. So maybe I'll fast Facebook or fast something. But as you get into this, you realize that the true biblical fast, you can fast whatever you want. But a true biblical fast is to go without food. And I don't like that because, you know what? King's stomach is pretty all right with me. So I got into that place and I was like, Lord, I do believe that you are calling me to fasting. Would you help me in this? And then every single year I started fasting. And every single time I fasted, I got closer to God. And the Lord showed me so many, so many amazing things. So much to the point where I decided that, Lord, fasting is so vital, I cannot miss a year where I don't fast, God, and spend that time in your presence. Our main verse for this series is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Isn't God amazing? Do you know that he provides our every needs? Do you know that even in the middle of trials and troubles, that he's got us in the palm of his hands? Do you know how crazy he is as our Heavenly Father? He's crazy about you. Fasting helps in that. We just left the season of Christmas and Thanksgiving, and there's so many big events. Man, there's staff parties, there's church parties, there's Christmas teas, there's all kinds of things, and we celebrate with a massive amount of food. Face it, we're Pentecostals. It's in our DNA. We love food. And as we've just left that season, fasting in a biblical sense is saying no to King Belly. We spend that time that we would be eating, and instead we pray and receive our daily bread from heaven. We seek first the kingdom of God. We push away the plate, and we press into a time of prayer. Fasting and prayer can help us to hear from God. It can help us to know God better. Fasting and prayer can reveal hidden sins, things in our lives that's just kind of like, Lord, I had no idea it was in there. Or, God, I've struggled with this for so long that, Lord, I need to target this in my life because I don't want to struggle with this anymore. Fasting and prayer can help us to know God, be transformed, live empowered. Fasting and prayer can teach us to pray with the right heart and right motives. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Fasting and prayer can build our faith. When all of a sudden we pray and we start to see miracles take place before our lives, we want to live empowered lives. Fasting is so important. So why fast? Matthew 6:1-18. Says, in this portion, you really will see as believers, there are three things that really need to be part of every believer's lives. Let's start in verse 1. Watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you'll lose the reward from your Father in heaven. First thing that every believer needs to be doing, when, not if, but when you give to somebody in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do. Skip down a little bit. Verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on their street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, there it is again, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they will think they will be heard because of their many words. Then it kind of goes on into the Lord's Prayer, and the Lord teaches us how to pray. And then we'll pick it up in verse 16. And when you fast, When you give, when you pray, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. They disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so this will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Fasting is an opportunity to humble ourselves. Many of us pray, Lord, heal our land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, how do you humble yourselves? I believe fasting is a key to humbling ourselves, where we're like, Lord, I desire your will over mine. I desire you, God. We seek his face. We look for opportunity in the midst of chaos, in the midst of busyness, to say, Lord, I come. God, I need you. Fasting is something that not a lot of Christians talk about or really know about, yet it is such an effective tool in our arsenal against the enemy. I tell you again, every time I fast, I get closer to the Lord. A door opens for me to quiet my spirit. And when I become so busy, fasting truly is an opportunity to pray without ceasing. For our spirit doesn't sleep. It is always in communication with God the Father. Fasting is really an issue of the heart. A good reference for you to study on your own that I won't look at too much today. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, but is Isaiah 58, which is known as the fasting chapter. There's so much meat in that one scripture, that passage of scripture. But as you look in there, you'll see that heart motives are really key in fasting. So before you begin your fast, I think we need to solidify deep in our spirits, why are we fasting? What is this important? Because if we know why we're fasting, then we can make sure that we don't get caught up in the hype and all the stuff that is happening and fall short of the goal that God has for us. So here's three wrong motives for fasting. After Christmas and New Year's, do you know what the number one resolution is? Lose weight. Oh, Bertine's so happy because the gyms are bursting and her classes are full and everybody's coming because they have a goal to reach. I need to lose X amount of pounds. And guess what? During a fast, you will lose weight. It's wonderful. But that cannot be the reason why you're fasting. There are so many better ways to lose weight than not eating. All right. Number two, it has been proven medically healthy to fast. It causes your digestive system to shut down, to take a well-deserved break. Again, this is great, but it can't be the reason. For if you're just doing it to lose weight, again, it's not the right way to do it. Number three, you do it because a pastor told you to do it. That is a terrible reason to do it. That's why we'll never hear us say, you guys have to fast for 21 days, do this, do that. No. We want to spur you on into to going deeper with God. But we can't make or force or tell people to do anything. God has given us a free will. And when we say, Lord, I desire to take something that, Lord, I really hold dear to my heart. Man, you've heard my sermons. You've heard me talk about the Olive Garden. I love it. I love eating. But yet, as the Lord calls me into his presence, it's like, God, the true manna from heaven is not breadsticks, but God, it's you. And Lord, I receive today what you have for me. Fasting is awesome, but if our hearts are not right, we are just going without food. Zechariah 7:5 says, ask all the people, the land and the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months for the past 70 years, was it really for me you fasted? Man, for the past 70 years, these people fasted. The Lord's like, you didn't do it for me. They just went without food. Fasting removes the flesh from the throne. Too often, if we're really honest with ourselves, we can understand that we can be selfish people. Man, isn't it hard in life making decisions without selfish motives? I don't know about you, but I've had stories like this that have happened in my life. Let's say all of a sudden you go on a vacation somewhere and you bring the kids and you drive into this new town and all of a sudden the kids see the golden arches and they're like, Dad, look, it's McDonald's. We're starving. Let's go to McDonald's. And you're like, seriously? Why would you want to go to McDonald's? Bozeman's got three of them. You know, we can have McDonald's anytime, but we're in San Francisco right now. We're in New York. There are so many amazing places that you can't get here. Oh, have you ever been to Springfield, Missouri? Lambert's. Why would you go to McDonald's when there's a Lambert's there? Lambert's is the place with the throwing rolls. They walk out, they go, hot rolls, and you go like this. The guy whips it across the room at you, and you got to catch it. That is so fun. McDonald's doesn't throw food at you. Come on. But the truth of the matter is, if all of a sudden they saw the golden arches, and I'm like, oh, man, I could really go for a Big Mac right now. And they said, hey, Dad, I'm like, on it. Why? Selfish motive. 1 Corinthians 10:7 says, the people celebrate without feasting and drinking, and they indulge in pagan revelry. Philippians 3:19, their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. My friends, when you fast, be intentional. I tell us every year to, in your journals, write down for the 21 days the three reasons why you're fasting. As I was in prayer, I think about 2 weeks ago, I said, Lord, this 21-day fast is coming this year. What do you want me to be praying for? Lord, I desire your will, not my will. God, would you show me the three things that I can pray for? You know what the Lord showed me? This year, Lance, I want you to pray that you would know God, be transformed, live empowered. The three things that I'm praying for is on our back wall, that vision would be so deep within my spirit. That's why I'm praying. That's what I'm fasting for in this next 21 days. God, I want this year, 2020, I want to know you. I want to be transformed. Lord, I want to live empowered. God, would you lead me? Would you guide me? My friends, we are God's kids. And do you know that your Heavenly Father loves giving us good gifts? Do you know that He wants to bless you? I wonder if far too often we have somewhere in there, you know what, God, yeah, He's good to me. But man, He really blesses so-and-so. You know, this person there, they're so spiritual that they get blessed. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? You know, I'm sure, like every parent in this room, we love giving good gifts to our kids. And every year, I just seem to find something for one of them that is just like, oh, they will love this. And this year was no exception. This year, for my little girl, Mackenzie, I was shopping and I found Mackenzie, you know, she's just kind of a weird kid. Most kids like listening to, I don't know, Aria Grande or Vanilla Ice or whatever they listen to. And, but Mackenzie, she loves listening to Broadway musicals. And it's just like, that's amazing to me. And it's funny because sometimes she's got this little Blu-ray speaker and she'll put on this music from musicals and she'll start to play it and Cindy will be like, Mackenzie, shut it off! I'm like, wow, when I used to listen to AC/DC as a kid, I could see my mom and dad yelling at me, shut it off. But musicals? Come on! But anyway, so she listens to this, and one of her favorite musicals is Hamilton. And I'm not a big Hamilton fan. It's, wow. But she really likes it. And I found these shoes that look like Vons or what's that other one that David liked? Converse shoes. And it's they're white shoes with black print on it, and it's got the guy holding up his hand and a big star, and it says Hamilton, and it's got all kinds of like print all over it. And I'm like, oh, Kenzie is going to love these. So I wrapped them out, and I was waiting for it, and I couldn't wait, man. You know, sometimes you get a gift, and you're just like, I don't want to wait till Christmas. It's like, here, take this and open it now. You want your present now? But, you know, I was kind of like that. I was like a kid in a candy shop. I just was so excited for her to open these. And I was so much more excited than she was until she opened that box. And when she opened the box, she started screaming and doing this little dance thing. I'm like, yeah, cool. Nailed it. You know? And it was awesome. But they're just shoes. The Lord has got so much more, better, cooler things for us as we press into his presence. We need to be seeking the Lord and say, God, as the church, the people are spending the next 21 days in prayer and fasting, Lord, what are you calling me to specifically? Here are 7 types of biblical fasts that you can prayerfully consider. And there's more in there. Again, we're not going to be really focusing on the fasting portion this year. We're going to be focusing on the prayer focus. But you on your own can study and learn. But here's just a couple of them. The Esther fast. Esther 4:16 says, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. My friends, I would say that this is probably one of the most difficult fasts in the Bible. Because you're going without food and without water for 3 days. But the Esther fast is for a crisis. The Esther fast is going 3 days with no food and no water. Here they were in a crisis, and they said, okay, let's get everybody to do this. Even the animals were doing it, if I remember correctly. And they were saying, let's walk in that place where we seek the Lord, because I'm about to step before the king, and he could kill me because it's against the law unless he calls me. When trouble comes, we don't fall down and collapse. We don't run and hide. We say, devil, you think you're going to bring crisis against me? The Bible says what the enemy is meant for evil, that God can use for good. So get behind me, Satan. This crisis that I'm facing right now in my life will become a blessing. Lord, even though I can't see it, God, I trust you. You know, a common sentence or a phrase that I hear all the time is, oh man, I feel like I'm fighting a losing battle. That is a lie from the pit of hell. My friends, we win. I've read the end of the book, we win. Spoiler alert, don't speak words of death over your situation. Press in, seek God, for God can make a way when there is no other way. Give God a chance in the middle of the crisis. Acts 9, Paul fasted for 3 days when he was blind. People were trying to kill him, yet the Lord revealed himself and set him free. Are you in a crisis? Have you found yourself losing sleep because of anxiety and worry? We don't need man's opinion in times of crisis. We need God's reassurance. We need to be carriers of his peace. I'm telling you that he will open up so many doors for you for times of ministry. Fasting is so important to say, God, I come. Give me the solution. The next one is Daniel fast. Daniel 10, 2-3. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. A 3-week fast is a series of 3 sevens, which is God's perfect number of completion. This fast is known as the Daniel fast, and it consists of no bread, no pasta, and no meat, only fruit, vegetable, some whole grains, and water. Now, when many people do the Daniel fast, every year I have people coming up to me and say, hey, pastor, can I eat this or can I drink this on the Daniel fast? Here's my response to everybody. Ask the Lord. The whole point is for us not to go into a legality and say, I better follow this by the law. A great example is quite often I'll have a salad on the Daniel fast, and I'll put a little bit of dressing on there. Well, dressing's got sugar in it. So technically, it's not allowed. But when it means something to you, I'm choosing to eat this salad instead of a steak. And when it means something to you, it means something to God. But again, take it to the Lord and ask him what he is requiring of you, okay? Is that fair? All right. God has a plan for everyone in this room. He has given you promises and destinies. He's waiting for you and for your family to step into it. The 21-day fast is for clarity of direction and for a focus of vision. That vision that you have of seeing your prodigal son or daughter return from the Lord, it's not a lie from the pit of hell to bring torment to your spirit. It's a reminder of, I've got them, pray for them, I've got this, press in for it. We do not serve or worship a dead God. He is alive. And he's wanting to show us things. He's wanting to speak strategy into our spirit. He's wanting us to agree with him in prayer. He has keys to your situation, and his whole desire is to release you into whole new freedom. Habakkuk 2 says, wait for the vision. It will surely come to pass. Fasting puts you in the place where you have the best possible avenue for breakthrough. 2 Samuel 5 says, God is a God of breakthrough, but we are positioning ourselves through prayer and fasting to receive the breakthrough. The 21-day fast gives us understanding of the vision. The next one I want to talk about is the one-day fast. Ooh, I got to speed this up. Now, I know that what you're thinking. One-day fast? Sign me up. I can do that one, pastor. I'm not doing the 21-day thing. One day, got it. Jeremiah 36:6 says, you go therefore and read from the scroll which you have written at my instruction, the words of the Lord in the hearing of the people in the Lord's house on the day of fasting. That one day is really, when you do this, it's a spiritual checkup. It's saying, Lord, would you search my heart? You know, we go to the doctor. How many people go to the doctor every year for a physical? Some of us? I do. When we go for that physical, we go because we want to do a complete body workover, a checkup. When we go to the Lord, we're doing a spiritual checkup. God, would you check my heart? Would you show me, Lord, if there's anything in there that, Lord, is not from you? God, how's my temper? Man, there's so many opportunities that we can have just to get ourselves in trouble. You ever drive in Bozeman? You have the opportunity almost every day. Lord, what's that in my heart? You know, I don't know about you, but I can get so silly over stupid things. You know, I've been doing, because of the plantar fasciitis, I've been doing these, instead of doing some of the gym class, like I love playing squash with the guys at the staff and this kind of stuff, but I've had to step out of that. And now instead I do a spin class, and I do a spin class 5 times a week. And when you do this spin class, it's kind of like church, I think. Because there's some people who have been in the same seat here since the church was opened. And it's kind of like, this is my seat. And when you walk in the back and you see that somebody beat you and is sitting in your seat, do you feel your blood boil? Whoa. That's my seat. I've been coming to this church since it opened, and I've been sitting in the same seat, and they're sitting in my seat. Well, I have my spin bike. And I sit on this spin bike every time, and I like my bike. And now there's a guy in my Saturday class who I've been spinning with for 6 months now. He knows that's my bike. And he's coming really early on Saturdays now, and he's taking my bike. And when I do that, I come in there, and I do this. And I give him the stink eye. And he looks at me and he does the proud peacock thing. This is my bike. And I'm like, you know that's my bike. So now, on Saturdays, I'm going to the gym an hour and a half early so I can get my bike. The one day fast. God. Bless them, Lord. Help me not to get my nose out of joint over something as silly as a bike. But I do! The one day fast. Target it. Lord, help me not become so silly. The battle fast. Now, we just hit a few specific fasts. And again, there's many more in the Word of God. How they look, how long they last. But these next ones are more general when it comes to time frame. If the Lord calls you on one of these, it'd be beneficial to define the parameters in prayer. God, how long would you like me to pray for? You know what? Maybe you're new to fasting. You're like, I just want to pray. I just want to fast for a day. Bless you. Wonderful. Maybe you're like, I just want to fast for 3 days. Wonderful. Maybe you're like, I've done a 1 day. I've done a 3 day. Whew, I'm going to try 7 days. Bless you. But when we seek the face of God, the Lord shows us exactly what he's doing. Judges 20:18 says, before the battle, the Israelites went to Bethel and asked God, which tribe should go first and attack the people of Benjamin? So here we have a chapter where we just read the people prayed. They asked the Lord, Lord, how should we attack them? They sought the Lord and asked who should go at first, and they went down and fought the battle, and they were destroyed in battle. They fell back, stood before the Lord, asked again, Lord, should we go? And God answered, yes, go. And they went out, and again, this time they lost. 18,000 more were killed. 40,000 people were lost in 2 days total. Then in verse 26, here's the key. Then all Israel went up to the Bethel. They wept in the presence of the Lord and fasted until the evening. They also brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. The Israelites went out seeking direction from the Lord. The Israelites asked the Lord, should we fight against our relatives from Benjamin again, or should we stop? The Lord said, go tomorrow and I'll hand them over to you. Intercession is so important. Do you know that God wants to give strategies for you and your family? Strategies for whatever you're facing right now. In the presence, in that secret place, it is so important to go before God and say, God, I come. I remember a guy who I'll never forget. He's passed on now. But the guy's name was Dale Hansen. And he was a man of God, a man who I admire so much. And I remember one time we had this small little intercession group who would meet once a week for prayer. And when we would do that, Dale was leading this group. He'd say, okay, guys, let's just take a few moments and seek the Lord before we go into intercession. We want to make sure there's no chinks in our armor. Let's just pray and ask the Lord if there's anything in our heart. So we were in a little room, like kind of like the prayer room. And I remember going into a corner. And I was standing in the corner and I'm just like, you know, Lord, just seek my heart. And as I did that, Dale's wife walked right kind of beside me, and Dale comes up to his wife, and now I'm kind of trapped in this corner. So I wasn't meaning to eavesdrop, but I was stuck. And Dale says, before we get into prayer, I have to tell you something, honey. She's like, oh, what's that? He goes, I don't like your mother. She's like, what? He goes, yeah, I don't like her, not even a little bit. He says, and I need to repent to you because that's wrong. And she's like, okay. And they held hands and they prayed, and he asked her forgiveness and asked the Lord's forgiveness. And it taught me a valuable lesson. Man, I don't know. That would be hard to do. Tell your wife, you know what? I don't like your mom. But yet he held intercession to such a high level that he took it very serious going into the Lord's presence. My friends, we have to realize that we're in a battle. We have to realize that there's an enemy who hates you and wants to devour you. It's not a cruise ship. It's a battleship we're on. And we have to prepare our hearts for where the Lord has. I still have a few more here, but because of time, I'm not going to get to them today, but that's okay. But I just really encourage you to seek the face of God and say, Lord, as we are getting ready to enter in this 21-day fast, God, what are you calling me to? How can I participate, Lord? How can I grow to know God, to be transformed, to live empowered? Lord, what is the vision that I'm praying for and fasting for? Would you show me what that is, God? And then walk in that place of understanding that this is life. This is wonderful. This is where God is calling us. He's calling us up. He's calling us to a place of maturity. Amen? Prayer summits. Man, they are so important. Would you join us tonight, 6 o'clock? And tonight, there's no donuts. There's no nothing. It's us getting together for prayer and saying, Lord, we desire you. Amen? Father, thanks, Patrick. I just thank you so much for this day. Lord, this is the day that you've made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I know that fasting can be scary for some, especially when you haven't done it before. God, all of a sudden we start getting a headache. All of a sudden we start to have all these things that kind of happen to our bodies and we're just like, I'm dying. Lord, would you just come against fear? Because Lord, when we detox from coffee and we detox from caffeine, Lord, there's some natural side effects. But Lord, you're calling us to a place of becoming overcomers. You're calling us to the secret place. And Lord, I just pray, God, that each one of us, God, who step out in that area of prayer and fasting would find you in such an intimate way. And that, Lord, we would grow in what you have for us. In Christ's mighty name, we ask it. Amen.